Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I've invited author Sharice Walker to the program to talk to us about her inspirational new book, Make a Joyful Noise, Searching for a Spiritual Path in a Material World. Sharice Walker believes that each step taken has led to this very moment. She has many life lessons to share through public speaking, working with others, and through her writing. Her book, Make a Joyful Noise, was published in the spring of 2008 and is now being sold worldwide. Born in 1952 and raised in the Mississippi Delta, Sharice is the daughter of a farmer father and a poet mother. With a true love of learning and teaching, she has been in the academic arena for many years, attending MSU, LSU, ASU, LU, and UMS, where she recently earned a bachelor's degree in metaphysical sciences. She has taught and studied religion and metaphysics extensively through seminars, e-courses, home study courses, and self-help books, sometimes reading two or three books at a time in a quest to understand and share with others. Years of study and research have recently led to an honorary doctorate of divinity, but Sharice considers her true qualifications to be her life experiences, her accumulated insight, and helping others. Sharice currently lives in Navarre, Florida, with her granddaughter, Vivian. So I am just so happy to have Sharice on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Thank you, Juanita. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on this book. You must be feeling great to have your first book in print.
Yes, it's been a true inspiration, and it was a joint effort, I might add. I have a sister who's the artist who did the book cover and allowed me to use her artwork inside the book, and then my other sister also was my copy editor, so it was a joint family effort.
Oh, that's fantastic. I had no idea. It's very beautiful artwork.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to congratulate you as well. I understand that your honorary doctorate of divinity, that you actually just received that here in September of 2008?
Yes, I did, and it was quite an honor to receive that.
Okay, so Sharice, tell us, you know, in your introduction, you have mentioned that you wrote Make a Joyful Noise to really bridge the gap between all religions and modern-day metaphysics. So I'd like you to maybe tell our audience about your personal history and then how you actually came to write this book.
Well, Juanita, this book has been a sort of a dream and an inspiration, and it's been unfolding the whole process of my life. I spent many years steeped mainly in religion, and then later I became disillusioned, I guess it would be a word. I found that I needed healing for myself, but I couldn't find it. I was diagnosed with a disorder, and I was given 5 years to live. And all of a sudden, no one was able to help me in the area that I was in. And I wanted to know, how can I heal myself? You know, the Bible says that if we believe, we can have our prayers answered. So I began to search this out in a different area. I found many different avenues of spiritual beliefs, and I studied those. And I was mainly searching for a way to heal my life and heal myself of this disease. Now, that was many years ago, and I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
The disease did not kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a process of trying to find self-satisfaction, self-discovery, and then learning eventually that I needed to share what I had learned with other people who find themselves in similar situations.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had a very strong religious upbringing. Do you feel that as you stepped into more of what is considered the metaphysical world, that that was a part of the awakening process for you?
Well, yes. I was definitely on a path of searching. I wanted answers to my questions. I wanted to know that God loved me. I really wanted to know that. And I guess from some, you know, it brings to mind Joel Osteen, the preacher in Houston.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He preaches motivational and inspirational messages that God loves you. The upbringing I had was not motivational or inspirational. It was condemnation. Mm-hmm. And so I really felt like I needed to wash out some of those ideas that I had gathered over my lifetime, which is considered your worldview, and replace them with an understanding of God himself and whether or not, or herself, whether or not he loved me, whether or not I was important to him. And I really do love this preacher, Joel Osteen. Mm-hmm. I cannot. He's saying the same thing basically that Make a Joyful Noise says. And I believe that he's so popular because he does not try to control people through fear.
Mm-hmm.
He lets loose with love. And it's God's love and his love and compassion for the people that he's speaking to. And that's what Make a Joyful Noise is trying to show, that we're not saying anything different. We're not saying anything different than what the Bible says. It's in the Bible. All of these spiritual laws are in the Bible. You just have to know where to look for them.
Mm-hmm. You've done a great job at pulling that out of the Bible and really making it applicable to spiritual laws. I mean, it's such an interesting book that someone coming from more of a religious background will be able to understand, and then those coming more from the New Age kind of wave, you know, it's a really interesting bridge, and I love that that's how you basically tied it all together in your introduction.
Well, thank you. And, you know, the most important thing about this book is that we're going through some terrible times in
mm-hmm.
our world right now.
Mm-hmm.
People are very discouraged.
Yeah.
They've lost hope and faith that life is supposed to be joyful and abundant. And I hope, it is my hope, that Make a Joyful Noise does help people make their own joyful noise, that they get it, that they read the book and say, oh, I did, you know. And that's what I'm hearing mainly from my readers.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned so much from your book. I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering who you really had in mind when you were writing this book, whether you had a specific audience. And it sounds like you sort of did, because there, like you say, are quite a bit of people that are walking around on this planet right now wondering what is going on and really losing hope.
Yes, and I think that I was at that place in my life, and I think in order to help someone else, you have to have been in that place yourself, the walk a mile in the moccasin syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I really had been there, and I know what people are feeling. I see it. I sense it, and I hear it. I hear it from people, and it's like they need to know that God loves us and that we are all connected. It should matter. We're all feeling the same things. We're all feeling the same turmoil and the same emotions that run through our world, because we are connected by spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we could not help but feel what everyone else is feeling.
So how then would you describe God's love?
Unconditional. Unconditional and abundant. If we look at the world that God created, if we just look around us and see the beauty, the magnificence, the abundance, there's trees and grass and beautiful greenery everywhere we look. There's, and if you're in Arizona, there's massive sand and rocks and mountains. I mean, God gave us plenty of everything. There's plenty of water. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of fish, animals, everything for our edification. But we get caught in these separation modes that, and it makes us feel separated from God's love. We just have to wake up to the fact that God loves us. He's given us everything. And to be happy and grateful for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you've actually divided this book into three very distinct parts. The first, understanding spiritual laws, then the spiritual laws, I think you have outlined 14 of them, and then putting spiritual laws into practice. So why don't you start by just briefly telling our audience today what a spiritual law actually is?
Well, I guess, Juanita, what we need to understand is that law itself, the word law, just refers to a plan in which to make things work. So spiritual laws refer to laws that help us attain a spiritual outcome, outlook, attitude. So spiritual laws are actually laws that teach us, for example, the law of oneness tells us that we're all connected with each other. And in the Bible, if we take the scripture verse from that, in Galatians 3:28, we are told there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So taking that law, spiritual law, the law of oneness, saying we are all the same, we are all connected, we are all one in spirit, that becomes a spiritual law.
Mm. It seems to me that the spiritual laws are principles that you can actually find throughout all of the major religions and spiritual philosophies. Like if you break those all down, at some point you're going to get to the core and it's going to be these spiritual laws.
Exactly.
Mm.
We say it's the law of attraction. Other religions might say it's karma.
Mm.
What goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's basically, and it is in every religion, every ancient text mentions these principles. We are just becoming, as a society, so much more interested in these laws in the last 100 years. Lots of material has been written, but it's coming to light more with more seminars, more books on it, and it's because people are interested. They want to know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know how to become more spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, people, like we mentioned earlier, their lives aren't working. They are caught up in racing around, chasing the dollar, or whatever it is. You know, we can turn on the TV and just see mass chaos going on right now. So people, it looks to me like people are really looking for answers and they want to create something different.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. I had written down the scripture this morning in anticipation of our conversation. And it's Luke 12:30, and it says, now, keep in mind, they're talking about earlier food, shelter, and clothing,
mm-hmm.
and it's where Christ tells them to consider the lilies
mm-hmm.
and consider the sparrow, that the lilies in all their glory were not as are arranged more beautifully than Solomon. Okay, so in Luke 12:30, he says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you have need of these things."
Mm.
In other words, when your Father knows that you need these things, you will be supplied these things. Matthew 6:30 says, "Seek." It's the same. They're going through the same conversation. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So, if people could seek their spiritual awareness first and understand the spiritual laws, then they don't have to really worry about food, shelter, and clothing. It will come.
Mm.
It will be supplied.
Mm. That's a great way to step out of the fear that's being generated right now.
I think so. I am in full agreement.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. So with these spiritual laws, you have mentioned 14 of them. Is that it? Is that all that there is?
No.
Okay.
I took 14 of the most common spiritual
mm-hmm.
laws. There
mm-hmm.
are many spiritual laws. I don't think anyone actually knows the number of spiritual laws,
mm-hmm.
and they keep thinking of more. The laws all sound very similar in some instances because I think the major law is the law of attraction. That is the major law, and all these other things branch off from it. Take the law of attraction for a moment. If it's Proverbs 23:7, whatever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You cannot be anything other than what you are inside. It will come out. So if you are a person who feels separated, then separation will come to you. There's the law of one, okay? We're not separated. So the law of attraction is trying to teach, if you want oneness, if you want the law of vibration to work in your life and the law of rhythm to be in the flow of things, and if you want to ask and receive, that's another law, then you have to think about these things, Proverbs 23:7. Think about it, what you want in your heart to happen so that it can come forth. And that is basically the law of attraction. So the law of attraction sets it all in motion.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me then almost that all of the laws are connected as well. There's no separation. with how they are connected with each other and
That's
govern
true.
One's life.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think they all flow very well in and out. And I tried to use 14. Sometimes they sound similar, and sometimes my examples are similar, but I'm trying to get this home that that yes, it is what we think about the most. Our thoughts, words, deeds, attitudes,
mm-hmm.
actions
mm-hmm.
affect everything in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me.
Now, what do you think of the unbelievable wave of information that's been hitting the mainstream regarding the law of attraction, which, you know, it was kind of initiated by the book and the movie The Secret, and I'd like you to also, you know, tell us what your thoughts are about that. But then also, we're starting to see a little bit of negative commentary regarding The Secret, that maybe it was a little too materialistic. So give us your opinions on that as well.
Well, I believe that The Secret set things in motion, but I think what most people need to realize is that it's not a secret. It's right in the Bible,
yeah.
if you know
mm-hmm.
where to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's caused the conflict,
mm-hmm.
because they want to say, the opposition to The Secret wants to say that it's not biblical.
Oh, okay.
But if they take those laws and truly look through their Bible, they will find that these laws are in the Bible. That's what Make a Joyful Noise does for a reader.
Uh-huh.
It shows that these laws that The Secret mentions and the other books, the laws of attraction, prosperity books, these laws are clearly documented in the Bible. And that's why we need to be coming from a place of love and higher thought than from negativity and lack. Okay,
mm-hmm.
People feel lack,
mm-hmm.
that there's not enough. We have plenty. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you absolutely did. So do you use the law of attraction in your life now, every day?
Yes, I try to use all the laws.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it wholeheartedly. It resonated in my being. When I first learned about spiritual laws, it resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it does. You know, of course, what we think is what we bring to us. If you don't see it in your own life, you can look around you and observe people around you. If there's a cranky neighbor that no one can get along with, and you watch that person from a distance, perhaps, and see that they're just miserable, and the more miserable they act, the more misery they attract to their lives. So, of course, if you can't even see it in your own self, you can see it in family members. You can see it in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to open our eyes and get with the program here.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if if it's called The Secret, or if it's called Make a Joyful Noise, or if it's called the Bible. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Take the information
mm-hmm.
and take it inside.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think that can be a big jump for people. You know, you can intellectualize spiritual information and really go overboard with that, but until you actually bring it into your heart and make it a part of your life, that's when transformation really happens.
Well, that's what I brought out in my book.
Yes.
The law of head knowledge, or not the law, the idea of head knowledge and heart knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We can know all these principles, but until we let them in our heart and truly look at our world as we are one, you know, we can't say, oh, those are Russians over there, and those are Germans over there, and those are the French, and none of those people are worth a darn. We can't do that. We have to realize that we are all connected. That's our brothers and sisters there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our brothers and sisters starving in Ethiopia. That's the way it is, and we should care.
Yeah.
So that becomes heart knowledge. When we start feeling the love and the caring, that's the heart knowledge.
And we'll be back. More Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience, as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books, as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further. And if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Charis Walker. She is the author of Make a Joyful Noise, Searching for a Spiritual Path in a Material World. You can find out more about Charis through her website, charis.com. So you have included so many quotes from the Bible in this book, and as well as other spiritual texts, and then some notable historic figures. You've got some great quotes from them, but I'm wondering why you decided to go with such an overriding emphasis on the Bible.
Because I think I've heard so many comments from people that these are New Age ideas, and it goes against the Bible.
Mm, okay.
And I'm trying to show the reader that it does not.
Mm-hmm.
If you really know your Bible and you really know where to search in your Bible, you can find the same information.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're using the same. We're saying the same thing. We may just be using different terminology.
I haven't seen any kind of a book like this out there.
Well, thank you. I really hope that it does.
You're very much filling the gap that you talk about. I'm wondering if you think that the fundamentalists will have a problem with this book.
They may have a problem with it, just like they did The Secret. But I think when they really look deeply into my book, they will not, because I'm not taking anything out of context, and I'm just using the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain that this verse says this, which anyone can read that verse and interpret it for themselves. And I really believe that that with an open mind and an open heart, they should not have a problem with my book.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. What about those on spiritual paths that really question the authenticity of the Bible, you know, believing that it has maybe been changed and rewritten over the years, losing its original intent? I mean, how would you speak to those on that path?
Well, what I have received comments from people like you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And what I try to explain to them is I wrote this book for people in a searching path. They're
mm-hmm.
just getting started. Mm-hmm. And they have not been exposed to everything that you've been exposed to. So they are just beginning their search. This book is for seekers. This book is for anyone who's interested in learning more about spiritual laws and their own spiritual self.
Very well
put. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but so many times people do not realize they are a spiritual being as well.
Mm-hmm.
They only are conscious of their earth body, their physical flesh. So this is an introduction, and this is mainly an introduction. I plan to write two more books that go further or deeper.
Oh, that's great. I was wondering. I kind of had the feeling that this was just going to be one in many books that we see from you.
Yes.
You know, I know that energy healing and Reiki was a huge part of your healing through illness and basically a spiritual awakening out of the religious background that you grew up in. Could you talk to us a little bit about how Reiki or how different energy modalities helped you along this path?
Yes. I first learned about Reiki from a massage therapist who had Reiki 1, and when I could feel the energy from her hands, I wanted to know more about it, and of course I went to her Reiki master and began to study immediately.
Mm.
It was something that just spoke to my heart and resonated with me, and I was going for massage therapy because I was in so much pain, and I was going to physical therapy, but nothing affected me the way the Reiki did. I immediately began to feel the energy free up in my body that had been congested from years of pain and suffering. And the energy work that was done on me and that I began to do on myself just freed all that up. Now, there are many, many modalities that do energy work. EFT, emotional freedom technique, just to name one. All of these are, you know, there's just lots and lots of energy work. Neuro-emotional technique, which is NET, muscle testing. There's a new thing called brain balancing, where they can literally show your brain a picture of itself, and that's energy work as well. All of these things that do not use medical assistance with medication or something foreign to the body are all energy work, because we're made of energy. We're energy beings.
It sounds to me like a part of your message and your own personal story as well is connecting the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, the mental, all of that together.
Yes, very much so.
Interesting. Okay, so tell us about the third part of your book, Putting Spiritual Laws into Practice. So you talk about a toolkit. What do we need in our toolkit?
Well, in a toolkit, I talk about prayer. And I show, I use the Lord's Prayer, the most famous prayer, as an example. And I turn it into modern-day language and show the reader how to pray an effective prayer. I discuss meditation. A lot of times people have felt like meditation was something from the East and that it was taboo. I use the Bible to explain that David, King David, meditated anywhere he was. He talks about meditation throughout the Book of Psalms. And as other people do in the book and in the Bible. Then I show the difference between thanksgiving, praise, because sometimes people get that, a little confused. And I start beginning teaching affirmations. It's just an introduction, again, into these ideas, but affirmations are positive statements that we say with conviction. And usually what we say is with conviction, so it may as well be positive rather than negative.
Yeah.
You know? So I start teaching them the difference in affirmations and just, you know, making comments that have been passed down for years. And I go into visualization. I actually give a learning example, a teaching tool, to teach visualization and show that anyone can do this. It's not hard to do. If you can see it in your mind, you can see it. You can bring it into realization. And I go into dreams and miracles and angels. I've been questioned about that, but again, I'm using the Bible as my basis, and there are just too many instances in the Bible that dreams and angels are discussed. They should be household words instead of taboo.
I agree.
Many times when you hear someone speak about their dreams or their guardian angels, people look at them like, you know, they put the sign of the cross up in front of them and want to call those men in white suits, and this is just, if we're really saying that we believe the Bible, then we need to believe the Bible, because the Bible uses many, many instances of angels bringing messages of God. And I don't know about you, but I want my message from God if it's sent by an angel.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. And so when you talk about angels, do you also, is it a consideration that those around you can be messengers from God as well, and maybe people that come in and out of your life, but they are, in a way, angels?
Well, I don't think I specifically did that, because I kind of figured that was assumed.
Okay.
I was basically going into the hierarchy of angels.
Okay.
But yes, I do believe that. I believe that good friends can be used by God to give us messages and be an angel to us. But I was speaking specifically of the angels in the Bible that were mentioned in my section on angels.
Okay. Well, great. So is this Putting Spiritual Laws into Practice? You mentioned a lot that's in your toolkit. Is this something you will go into more depth in your future books?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Oh, so another thing I wanted to talk about, Charis, is the idea of a greater purpose or a higher purpose. You know, it seems like so many people are looking for what is their purpose in life, and a lot of times it seems this is the question that leads them on their spiritual journey. So what does a higher purpose mean to you, and then how do you suggest one find what their higher purpose is?
Well, that's a very often asked question, and I believe that your higher purpose is the very thing that only you can do the way you can do it. Does that make sense to you? Should I go further?
Yes, go further.
Okay. I use an example to explain this of Moses, because everyone is familiar with Moses, almost everyone. Moses was abandoned for fear that he would be killed as a young infant and put in a basket and left in the Nile River, or the river outside of, I'm not sure it's the Nile actually, but he was left in the river outside Pharaoh's palace. Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and brought him inside and raised him as her own son. Now, Moses was an Israelite. He was a Jew, but he was raised as an Egyptian. And I'm sure that he always knew that he came from that slave family. I'm sure they never let him forget that, because there came a time when Moses had to stand up for his blood, his connection with his brothers and sisters, over right and wrong. And the Egyptians were very cruel taskmasters, and Moses killed an Egyptian for harming an Israeli brother. So he had to flee. He fled Egypt and went to the desert. And while he was in the desert, he became part of that tribe. And one day when he was walking in the fields, he saw a bush burning. And he pulled aside and went to check it out, like anybody would. Oh, there's something on fire over there, and I'm going to go see what it is. So he went to check it out, and he noticed that the bush was not burning up. The fire was inside the bush, but it did not consume the bush. That was God's way of getting Moses' attention. Now, God told Moses that he had a job for him. He wanted him to reach his higher purpose. And Moses said, I can't. I don't speak well. I stutter. I don't speak eloquently. I can't do this. Send someone else. And God, knowing everything that he did know, of course he knew how it was going to turn out, agreed to send Aaron. So Aaron and Moses go before Pharaoh, but as soon as Moses steps before the Pharaoh, he realizes that he can do this. This is what I'm here to do, and he took over. He arose to his higher purpose. No one had the experience in all the Israeli camps that Moses had. He was brought up as a prince. He knew how to stand before Pharaoh. He knew how to speak his truth. He knew how to speak in the terms of the Pharaoh because he had lived in his same palace. So he was the only perfect spokesman. And when he denied his higher purpose, it still worked out that he did his higher purpose. He had to step forward and do his higher purpose. That was Moses' higher purpose, to lead the people out of Egypt. The Bible is filled with different examples like that. There's another one where a young woman is a Jewish queen, and her name's not even coming to my mind right this moment, but it was said to her, how do you know but that at this time you are right here to do your thing, your higher purpose? So she had to go to her husband and stand the chance of being killed to take her higher purpose and her place in history. She had to stand up for her people. We do that all the time. We have a point and a place where we have to make a stand about something. That's usually our higher purpose. There's also times when there's no one who can write that song, no one who can write that book, no one who can interview that person, whatever it may be, or paint that picture like we can. So we need to step forward and do what we were called here to do. Even art inspires and blesses people and helps them see God. Even a piece of art.
That's very true. So you think that a higher purpose is typically found through some sort of choice or decision or some kind of challenge that one has to overcome and push forward through?
Well, I believe that, I mean, in a roundabout way, yes, but I believe that every step we've taken, whether we were a waitress in college working our way through to get our law degree, every bit of that, every little step we took, even if we were in grade school, if we want to go back to grade school when we were not picked for the first on the team when they were drawing up teams, they don't do that anymore because it, you know, gives us psychological damage. But back then, years ago, we were picked. Every little incident that was a major crossing point, and even if we didn't feel it was at the time, has prepared us for what we are supposed to do. It helps us to relate to that person who didn't get picked either. Mm-hmm. It helps us to understand and be compassionate for people who are in service when we've been a waitress, okay? Mm-hmm. Each little thing, until finally we sum up who we are and we have this purpose to fulfill. that no one can do exactly the way we can.
So it's unique to each one of us.
Yes.
That's great. I wonder, you know, kind of going on that idea, I wonder talk to us about your thoughts on whether there's a greater purpose or a higher purpose for the chaos that we're seeing in the planet right now, and basically the choice that each one of us is having to make in our hearts as we move through this chaos.
I believe it is. I believe that it's bringing us to a point to where we have to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. No, we're going to take care of our planet. No, we're going to make concessions and do something. Now, the leadership may have to be changed dramatically, but I'm not saying that it will happen in our century, but I'm saying that even our young children are learning that when they come into power, they have to make a change. A change has to be made. And if we can't make it, then it will be made somewhere along the road behind us. These younger children will make these changes.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing some steps to improve our world, but we're not doing far enough. And I believe this new generation will they're just unique little kids. They're coming in here with a higher purpose already, and they seem to remember theirs, whereas it takes us sometimes a lifetime to remember ours.
Yes, isn't that amazing? I mean, we hear about the kids coming up now referred to as indigo children or crystal children, star children, but there is something so unique about this upcoming generation.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And inspiring.
I'm blessed to have an 8-year-old to be able to watch it happening right in my family.
Oh, wow. How great. So, Charis, tell us how the response has been so far to Make a Joyful Noise. I mean, at this point, your book is available worldwide, which is amazing.
Yes, it is. I've had some really good feedback on the book, and most of the people are very happy and grateful to have found it and have been able to read it. The comments I get are, it's great, I needed to know this, thank you so much, and God bless you. You know, I hear a lot of that. And I believe that my mantra is, if you need it, you'll read it.
Mm-hmm. So. It'll land in your hands.
Right.
So let's mention your website. It's charis.com, charis.com. And what can we find on your website?
Well, I give some biographical information, and I talk about the book and how to find it, how to order it, how to download an e-copy. And then I give a news and events page that shows what I'm doing. When I have time to update that, I keep that updated. And they can order an autographed copy from me on the webpage.
Oh, great. So are you doing any workshops or lectures around your book or any of the topics that you discuss in your book?
I just recently did a workshop in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And
nice place.
Yeah, it's great. And I do, I'm still involved in the Reiki sessions, and I'm a Reiki master teacher, so I do still do that. I work with clients on that. I'm available to do workshops on the love of God and how to find your balance and several other areas, meditation. I teach a really good and easy-to-learn meditation process that people can learn and go away with, how to balance the chakras.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I am available, and that's also on the website.
Oh, great. You have your foot in a lot of different areas.
Yes, I do. I'm just open to be used. That's been my prayer my whole time. It's just, let me be of service, Lord. Just use me to help other people, you know. And I do have a great deal of love for learning, learning new things.
And there's a joy that comes across in your voice that I think that kind of joy is only accessible if you are truly following your path and opening yourself up to whatever guidance or divinity is available there for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel a great deal of joy in having this book published and knowing that it can reach people and that it can save them some of the steps and the rough spots that I had to go to learn this information.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to share. I just want to share what I know with others. And I'm not saying I know it all. I've got a lot to learn myself, and I try to keep learning. But this is a good introduction into spiritual information, a very good introduction into spiritual information.
Yes.
So that people can understand. It's not all about gaining material benefits. It's about finding love and joy and peace and happiness inside yourself.
That's a wonderful, wonderful final thought to end on today, Charis. I just want to thank you so much for joining us and coming on the program, and I hope to have you back when your second book comes out.
Well, thank you, Juanita. It was just a great joy, and I'm very thankful and grateful to have been with you today.
And me as well. Thank you, Charis. Take care.
Okay.
All right, listeners, I've been talking with Charis Walker. Her new book, Make a Joyful Noise, Searching for a Spiritual Path in a Material World, is on shelves now and available worldwide. You can find out more about Charis through her website, charis.com, and that's spelled charis.com. So thank you once again for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.